for 7/4/2012, it's a real firecracker of a video games hot dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's time for another episode of Video Games Hot Dog. Welcome back, Kevin.
Why, thank you.
How's it
I wasn't gone? Actually gone, really.
Well, not as far as our listeners are concerned.
Exactly, right?
Welcome back, Kevin. Goodbye. Weird delay after everything Kevin said.
It's the magic of the internet.
I didn't actually listen to the last few episodes. That's totally not true. It didn't seem like it was too bad.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem bad when we're recording it, but I feel like my brain is making up for a lot of potential delay there.
It reminds me of the old days when we would spend hours and hours on the phone just talking about one particular video game that we were working on.
Yeah.
How's it been, guys? How you guys been?
Yeah, sure.
All right. You go killing a pig?
Yeah. did kill some pigs.
Seen any movies or watched any televisions?
I went and saw Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
How'd you think?
I thought it was pretty good. It was exactly what I was hoping it would be. It was dumb action, fun, seeing Abraham Lincoln swinging an axe around his head and cutting the head off a vampire. It was excellent.
So, like, Avengers was, like, action-y, but also really, like, good dialogue and interesting story and character development and stuff like that. Like,
would say that Avengers was better, but that doesn't make Abraham Lincoln bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where, like, I see it, and I'm like, you know, I have no desire. I wouldn't throw it out of bed. I don't know. No, I mean, I wouldn't.
You wouldn't not have sex with Scarlett Johansson,
right? But like, I don't think I would ever. I would go to a theater, especially to see it.
What about Girl from Scott Pilgrim? Would you throw her out of bed for being in Abraham Lincoln movie?
No.
Okay.
Is she in the Abraham Lincoln?
She's Mary Todd.
Oh, yeah? Yeah.
Oh, is she? Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Also, a girl from Tron was not in that movie or any of the other movies either.
She's some, like, European actress or something, right?
Olivia Wilde. Oscar Wilde.
Oscar Wilde's daughter.
She's like, either these drapes go or I'm hot.
But do the curtains match them?
Do the curtains match the drapes? Yeah. I don't know. You can never tell.
Was that a phrase that just came up in my head and has now become something?
No, I think it happens all the time.
Okay, because, like,
you think about that as a phrase about curtains, and then when you go to say carpet,
right?
You
get all messed up in the head.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like my brain just has been reversing phrases a lot.
Does the blood match the skull?
Yeah. it doesn't have to, I guess, right? Because you could just get somebody else's blood.
Yeah,
I mean, you can fill a skull with all kinds of stuff.
Sacrificial skull.
Well, but then your demon's all messed up.
Did I talk about my brain model that I built already? I forget if I did.
What?
No.
I got for my birthday, so like 6 months-ish ago, I was given a brain kit where you'd construct your own brain and then put it inside its own little
inside
model
your
skull.
Skull.
Inside a model skull.
Oh, okay.
Well, that wasn't even on your list. Build a brain.
I know.
Go to the center of a brain.
It's really cool. It's like very anatomically accurate, apparently.
Huh.
And it has like it all the way down to the giant rubber bands that allow our jaws to move.
Exactly.
So what are the, like, is it all the different lobes of the brain and then you stick them together?
Yeah,
or
there's the Lisa lobe, the tone lobe.
There's like, you know, there's the lobe, the various, like, it has all the different, like, sort of pituitary glands and the, you know, the hippocampus and stuff like that. And you, like, stick a lot of those parts together, and, like, some of them are more rigid and some of them are really floppity.
Yeah,
and then you have, like, the different, brain plates that fuse, like the ones, you know, like when you're a baby, they're overlapped.
Like, and skull
then,
parts.
Yeah, and it has all that. And it's, like, it's supposed to be, you know, the particular plastic model I had didn't fit perfectly well together because, you know, I think they're mass produced or whatever, but it was pretty good. It was neat.
Huh. Now you could take a bunch of clay and put a skin on it, a face on it.
Yeah, that's reconstruct Tutankhamun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's, I mean, I know it's science, but I'm guessing that there's a lot of guesswork involved in that kind of
It does seem
reconstructive,
like,
surgery.
Yeah.
2,000 years after the fact.
It does seem weird.
I mean, it seems like a lot of what you look like is determined by the bone structure of your face, but then a lot more of it is determined by, like, how much you've been eating over the last couple of years and stuff.
You know, if you ever met a bear.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
If you're a zombie.
Met a bear. He's always making weird decisions about
I mean, but like also like what kind of like skin conditions you've had, like,
yeah, whether you've been pox. Using a lot, whether you've been using your jojoba oil,
yeah,
your
tea tree oil,
yeah, your a creme de cacao. What am I thinking of?
I don't know.
Calamine lotion?
Cal.
What's that?
Cream of cow.
Chamomile tea.
What's the stuff camel, you put on your skin meal. That's like coconut?
Coconuts?
Yeah.
Just coconuts, yeah. Depending on how many coconuts you've been hit in the face with.
Yeah. I mean, because you've been trying to simulate being run over by horses.
Well, it's like you're more likely to get hit in the face with a coconut and die than get struck by lightning and die, so...
Hit in the head. I don't know if in the face. Like, are you just staring up at coconuts? Yeah,
why wasn't you? You're like, ah, yeah. Those look like boobs. Yeah. You're just sitting there not paying any attention at all, and then pow, monkey killed you. I saw a picture on Reddit of a woman who had been struck by lightning, and it left a network of scars on her that looked like lightning bolts.
Whoa.
Sort of going down from her head. It might have been fake.
Yeah, It sounds fake, but it's cool regardless. I mean,
there was also a flaming skull and a dragon and like, a wizard.
If I got hit by lightning and I was inclined to get tattoos, getting a tattoo of like a lightning strike would potentially be something that would be something I would commemorate. Maybe
that'd be meaningful. Yeah.
You get a tattoo that traced the path of the lightning, so you'd have to get a tattoo through your heart.
Yeah.
Might be rough. You know what I kind of want in a brain model? I want a brain model that's hooked up to like a Dr. Spatzo. So when you poke different parts of the brain, it will do that. Like, I feel like you've seen that in movies or TV shows or whatever, where they're poking on somebody's brain and it makes them say that, like, coffee cups, chlamydia, yeah. Coffee cups.
I thought like their left arm involuntarily raises. Yeah,
that too. How would Dr. Spatzo would just say, my left arm has raised.
Oh, I was thinking Eliza. I was like, how do you feel about the fact that your left arm has raised?
I mean, Dr. Spatzo is Eliza.
Is it?
Yeah, just with a man's voice.
So was it so wasn't exactly the same, right?
It was pretty...
Is it the same outputs and all?
Very close. I don't know... I mean, there were so... There were so many.
Dr. Spatzo went to medical school.
That's true. There were so many versions of Eliza. You know, every time you got a book of basic programs to type in, there was a version of Eliza in there. And I can't imagine that any of those were anything like the original version, because they were not.
Typing in something in BASIC seems pretty rudimentary.
Yeah, they were very crude versions of Eliza. But I think in a lot of ways that was a demonstration of how not hard it is to trick somebody into thinking that something is having a conversation with them. I mean, when you consider that people spend a lot of time talking to their cats and shit.
Yeah, but the cats talk
back. As we have established, cats do not have intention. I was thinking about that. Yesterday, as I was driving, I was thinking about that stupid argument about whether or not cats have intentions, and I'm still right.
I just don't believe... They don't have the same thing that you and I have in terms of intentions.
You mean the thing that we call intentions? Right.
I mean, they want something, and then they pursue a course of action to achieve that want, and that, how is that not intention?
They behave entirely at random and are subject to... conditioning. They behave
just,
according
it's
to
just
their
Brownian
instincts.
Motion.
Yeah. It's just like, it's weird. Even if a cat like walks over to its food dish, it just happens to have flailed its limbs in the right direction. You're
it is
not...
true that it's impossible to know both where a cat is and where it's going.
Yeah. You put it in that box with that vial and it's like, oh man, this is even weirder. You put a cat in a box with a vial of poison and a Higgs boson.
Yeah. I saw the gray, which is
a Higgins boson. It's very polite Higgins. And has a mustache.
Boatswain Higgins.
It's constantly getting angry. I saw the gray, which was pretty good.
Yeah.
There were wolves eating people. People were delicious.
There's that one part where Liam Neeson is like, now you're going to die. And you're like, damn, cold Liam Neeson.
And then he's all like, you sunk my battleship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then later he was like.
He wasn't in battleship, was he?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, he was the main guy. He's not the main guy.
He was the commander or
whatever.
He's
the battleship lord.
Yeah.
That's
he's the Duke Battleship.
Has anybody seen that? Was it
no.
Was it terrible?
I imagine it was terrible.
So what
Red Letter Media did a half in the bag, I think, that about it. It sounded incredibly stupid.
Okay. They had an overthinking it where they had a Navy guy on who had been on a battleship
been attacked by aliens.
Yeah, had been attacked by they're sort of robot aliens. They might have been of terrestrial origin. You don't know. They could be Mexican robots, I guess.
Yeah.
Apparently, they did robots. A weird thing where I guess that there's a part of the movie where the only people left that know how to pilot the battleship are all elderly vets. So, but all the instead of getting actors to play them, they got a bunch of actual elderly vets.
Huh.
So I guess they look realistic, but they don't know how to say lines like an actor would.
Mm.
Weird.
They know how to tie lines into various knots. Did you ever, Riff, did you go with us on that battleship, on the aircraft carrier tour at any point?
No. I've been on Star of India, but I didn't see the battleship. Mm.
Yeah, the aircraft carrier is pretty cool in San Diego. And the all the other stuff, like the submarines. Did you go on the submarines at the Maritime Museum?
Uh-uh.
That's pretty sweet. You go on a submarine.
We were going to last time Jenny and I were there, but...
You're scared of depths.
No, it was like by the time we got around to getting down there, it was getting kind of late and there wasn't going to be enough time to really see anything in a complete fashion.
Okay. Well, you should do it next time.
Yeah.
Because it's pretty cool. Although, having toured that aircraft carrier twice, I don't think I want to do it again until I'm senile and have forgotten all of it.
Yeah.
And then I'd be like, I was stationed on this aircraft carrier. Here, I'll show you how to drive it. But I'm not an actor, so I delivered that line terribly. you guys been playing any video games?
Other than WoW, I think the only thing that... I should keep a list the way you guys do. The only thing I can think of that I've played other than WoW this past week was McPixel.
Yeah.
Which is excellent.
It's pretty good. I think Kevin is the only one of us who has not played McPixel.
It is
McPixel.
Excellent. It is excellent a lot of the same ways that Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter is excellent.
So this is a McDonald's tie-in retro
yeah.
video game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
It is,
you're a fry guy.
Yeah.
All right.
It's sort of like a LucasArts adventure in WarioWare form.
Okay.
One screen. You can interact with things. If the things are people, your primary interaction is kicking them in the nuts.
Okay.
You select a level by going, you click on one of four McPixels at various stages in his life, and when it's a baby McPixel, you go and you think he's about to drop him into a manhole, but then he kicks him out of the way of the manhole and jumps in the manhole himself.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty good. You have to give a stoned alien a hot dog is one of the solutions. You have to throw yourself into a volcano. You have to drink some beer and pee on the reactor of a spaceship to stop the reactor from overloading.
Okay.
Overheating. Overblowning. It's pretty good. It is made by the same guy who made a game that I talked about a long time ago on an episode of Video Games Hot Dog called Attack of the Heavenly Bats. Which was a game that he made for, I think, a Ludum Dare that was like a Metroidvania. It was like a crude Metroidvania. There were these old men telling you it was dangerous to go alone and that you should take whatever they were selling you. And you picked up coins and when you got a new weapon, it would just add it to the things that you were shooting. So by the time you got to the end, you just couldn't tell what the fuck was going on the screen. And then the boss was Batman.
Awesome.
I played through it again just because I was like, oh, the same guy. I should play that again. It takes like 20 minutes to play it from beginning to end. It's pretty good. It's on Newgrounds. It's on Kongregate. Yeah, McPixel's good, though. It's $10. You can get $1 off. I know. It's super weird that it's $10.
Jeez, yeah.
But I paid $6 for fucking that Office... Super Office Stress. and I've gotten more. It was very similar, actually. You could get $1 off of McPixel by sending some fan art, which I don't know how you're supposed to be a fan of it without having bought it.
Do you get a rebate? Or is
yeah.
It...
Yeah. Wow. I don't think they actually check it in real time. They just want you to not just, you know, send them a JPEG of your dick or whatever. Although you could say that's fine. This is the boner I got from watching the McPixel trailer.
Here's a baby I kicked in honor of your video game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is my jail. This is my mugshot from when I was arrested for kicking a baby.
Here's a picture of a mug that I sent to jail.
There's one on a submarine.
Yeah.
There's one
where you have to pick up the bomb and throw it out the window of the submarine.
Yep. The solutions are all pretty reasonable, you know. You figure them out just based on how you know the world works. It's a good game. Apparently I have not seen MacGruber, but apparently the whole thing is just kind of a shtick on MacGruber.
See. Which was a shtick on MacGyver.
Oh, yeah, I was assuming it was MacGyver.
Mm. We should see MacGruber.
It's not great.
It's not?
No.
No. Wait, so you're the only one of us that's seen MacGruber, and we're the only ones of us, the only twos of us that have played McPixel.
Yeah. It, like, you know, it wanted to be funny, and it just never quite got there. The whole thing was, like, at a very low humor level the entire film. So
I think I might need to see it myself.
Yeah.
Because you probably say the same thing about Wet Hot American Summer or Freddy Got Fingered.
I mean, Freddy Got Fingered has some brilliant scenes.
They stripped out the entire first act of Freddy Got Fingered. Stephen Tobolowsky was in it, and he played Freddy's gay uncle who ran a pudding factory, I think. And he tried to... Maybe it wasn't a pudding factory.
It was some other factory or something.
Yeah, but there was a whole first act of the movie where Freddy tried to get a regular job and just didn't fit in, and that's why the movie happened. And then they just pulled it out because there wasn't enough time for horse cock. Made it a worse movie. As it sounds. Yeah, anyway.
Well, less comprehensible.
Stephen Tobolowsky was sad. He was like, when he found out that they had cut all of his scenes, he was like, oh, man, this movie's going to be terrible. And it turns out it was the worst movie ever. Also, I found out from listening to the Tobolowsky Files, which is a great podcast, there was apparently a scene in Groundhog Day where he upsets a gypsy woman and she places the curse on him that results in the premise of the movie, as opposed to it just being a thing that happens that doesn't need to be explained.
Huh.
And
I think I prefer it than...
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think I would have cared either way, but it's interesting that that's a thing, right? Mm.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was it became a magical snowstorm as opposed to anything else.
I didn't think that the snowstorm is what caused it.
Yeah.
I thought the snowstorm was...
They had a musical cue that was like the bloop, 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 which was like the thing that was like happening, right?
Yeah, it was a gypsy woman playing a harmonica.
And yeah, and that happened when he tried to leave town and the snows prevented him from getting anywhere.
I would have...
I think that's a symptom of what happened, not what happened itself.
Okay.
Yeah. Wonder how far he could go. I'm sure he explored the boundaries of it. We should make a video game of Groundhog Day. I don't think we should make a video game of Groundhog
I wonder, actually, if that would get any traction. Like,
I mean, it'd be kind of like...
There's no progression, right? Like, there couldn't be any progression. You would hate it because you'd be all pissed off that every time you got killed...
You'd be learning what was going to happen and when it was going to be.
You accidentally got super fast AIDS from that girl that like you pretend you knew in high school.
It'd be like a one-move IF game. It'd be like that pool hall game that I can never remember the name of.
There'd be a weird command at the end. It would be like,
save the kid from the tree
and then learn to play the piano and then have sex with that girl by pretending you knew her in high school and then play the piano some more.
Ned Ryerson?
yeah. McPixel. What else?
That's about it. I finished piecing together my fancy outfit in WoW and then found a new pair of shoulders, so... Now I have to find some more stuff that matches those.
I played a little WoW this weekend, too. I finally found some male shoulders so that I could transmogrify them into my sweet wolves with lightning bolts shooting out of their eyes.
Nice.
That model is going to be
the best.
Thing forever.
So when I played WoW at the level cap the longest was when I was playing, you know, sort of kind of in the guild with you or whatever, and I got some decent gear, and then I had that gear for 2 years.
Oh, wow.
Right, that's just what my character looked like for a couple of years when I would pop back in and play. Because, like, even after the expansion, like, it took until the following level cap to get...
Some blues and greens that were better than your purples.
And plus, I didn't even... I forewent some upgrades because they didn't look as good.
Okay. Yeah, because I was going to say, because the quest reward gear is generally better than the... like raiding gear from the previous expansion.
Not in the shoulder slot though for a long time. Yeah.
Huh.
And I don't know if they do that on purpose.
It depends on what stat you're trying to maximize too.
Well, right, and it depends what class you are, right? Because all of the like you have to get male shoulders, which are not
hyper common.
Male is weird too, because not a lot of characters wear male. Hmm. Who wears male?
Hunters and shamans.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess not that many wear leather. You think they would have just gone, like, medium?
I mean, having multiple ranges of armor is good.
Sure. Well, why not male and then extra male?
Yeah. I mean, you want the four types of armor so that not everybody in the... so there's fewer people in the raid fighting over roles for...
Well, they don't even really do that anymore in raids, right? Like, they drop shoulders of the Sasquatch and then you... trade a one that's just a currency that you trade for whatever the shoulders are for your specific it's not really of the Sasquatch. I think it's of the Forlorn Protector. I just think of the Sasquatch as the Forlorn Protector of the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
I just did like a day's worth of Dungeon Finder runs and had a lot of fun. I was like, all right, I'm gonna play some Star Wars The Old Republic, and I popped in and I was like, I'm going to play some WoW. I logged off, and then I played WoW for like 6 hours on Sunday.
So your go-to when you play one of these games is to just fire up the Dungeon Finder and do like a packaged content kind of thing?
To try to see some stuff that I haven't seen already.
Have you already seen everything in the world, do you think? Or is it just that it's easier to know whether there's stuff in the world... Sorry, easier to know that there are dungeons you've not seen rather than like...
You know, I have not seen sections all of the map. So there are dungeons that I haven't seen that also have stuff in them that will result in progression of my character. And also, I can just be puttering around waiting for the dungeon finder to pop, and then I teleport into a place that I haven't seen before.
Right.
Right. Like, there was a patch worth of dungeons, which was like 3 5-man heroics that I had just not seen any of them.
Wow.
Before. Some of that stuff seemed kind of familiar, so I might have at some point popped in and done it before that, but I basically had to have everybody explain all the encounters. But it's at this point in the life cycle of this expansion where everybody is just blazing through these things, and so everyone got finished on the first try. Like, I kind of didn't even need to be there.
The pandas aren't out yet, right?
They are not. It's in beta.
Okay.
I have a beta key for that, but I cannot bring myself to play in the beta for an MMO that I'm actually invested in.
Yeah, same here. I don't want spoilers.
Yeah.
So you consider it spoilers to play it on a non-native
to play through the content. Because, well, it wouldn't be non-native, right? It would be a copy of your character on the PTR.
Oh, it's just a copy, I see.
Yeah, because that's how you do it. I mean, that's how you test things on the PTR, right? You initiate a dump of your character from whatever server you're on Peter dump. Which I just don't want to do. Like, I feel like it would cheapen my engagement in good old Gron, the orc shaman, to make a copy of him and play it in a world that wasn't the real one. Which is funny, because the whole thing is in a world like that's not the real
sharded,
one.
Like, a bunch of sharded instances.
But I mean, I feel the same way about that I would feel about, like, oh, why don't I play on a private sharded WoW server? No, I don't want to. Like, I want to play in the real WoW.
I still haven't got around to doing any random dungeon findering except for the recent holiday boss, but my guild is doing... There's a bunch of guys in the guild I joined that are into chivos, so we've been doing some runs of old Lich King raids
To get the sweet chivos.
Yeah.
We got some chivos in the runs that I was doing. At the end, it would be like, are we just going for kill or going for achievement? And I was always like, I don't care. And then we got some. It's weird, you know. They'll give you an achievement for killing a boss. And I feel like they might do this with every like end of a dungeon boss.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They'll give you an achievement for killing him in some weird way, like either doing really well, like defeat the boss without anyone getting caught in one of these traps or whatever. Or in this one, it was like violate story canon, because it was in one of the name of the achievement was "That's not canon." Because it was in a Caverns of Time instance, and it was like, the way that this boss fight was supposed to go is that you were just supposed to kill this one guy while Illidan is fighting this other big guy behind you, and who doesn't get weakened until you kill the first guy. But if you get that big boss down to a certain health threshold, he will, like, consume the other boss to get healed, and then the end of the event will trigger. But it takes a really long time.
Yeah, I bet.
Like, you just have to stay alive and just do anyone. He doesn't ever attack you or anything. Like, but you just have to stay alive, and every once in a while,
the other guy is pounding on you.
Yeah. Every once in a while, Sylvanas. Well, maybe the tank has to stay on the one that you're normally supposed to kill. Sylvanas is also there, and also you, Scarecrow, and she's fighting some dudes. And every once in a while, like, there's a timer where she'll be like, "Oh fuck, help!" And you'll have to run over and get a bunch of guys off of her, and then it'll say like, "Sylvanas can handle herself again." And it's like, okay,
that's hot.
Yeah, you get to fight Queen Azshara, and she casts a puppet. You don't actually have to fight her; she turns you into a puppet.
Okay,
there's like marionette strings on a hand floating above you, and you start attacking all your allies, and they have to kill the puppet hand.
Okay,
that's pretty cool.
That's pretty good. I have seen that one.
So that was a lot of WoW.
Cool.
I played a bunch of I played a little bit of Quantum Conundrum.
What's that?
It's like Portal. It's like a new game that came out that's very much like Portal.
Reviews of it are mixed. What do you think?
I don't know that I will play all the way through it.
Is it the same kind of thing where it's a level and you're connecting two places that are disjoint in space?
No, it's like there. You shift. You have a device that allows you to shift between different quantum dimensions, and they are very much like each other, except in one of them everything is really fluffy and light, and in one of them everything is extra super heavy. And that's as far as I got. There are two others, but it's like there will be pressure plates that you have to put a safe on. And
so you pick it up in the light world.
You have to pick it up in the light world, move it around. But I mean, sometimes you'll have to like pick something up in the light world, throw it, and then before it hits some glass, switch to the normal world so that it's heavy enough to break the glass. Like, it's clever. The puzzles are clever. You know, and there's like fans that light stuff will blow, and you can stand on it if it's pressed up against a wall or whatever. And, you know, so you have to, like, there's a lot of, like, fairly tricky things that you have to figure out how to do. John DeLancey, Q from Star Trek The Next Generation, narrates the whole thing.
Okay.
And it's like, you're this kid, and you go to your uncle's house, and your uncle's house is a bunch of crazy puzzles, and he's an inventor, and he's trapped somewhere and talking to you via your arm.
Right.
Your bionic arm, which is your wife.
What?
I think that was the premise of the new Bionic Commando game.
Oh, okay.
There's an AI in your grappling arm that was, it was like a ROM construct of your wife who died.
Spoilers.
No, I know. I played the second episode of The Walking Dead. It was very good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it a lot.
They need to come out with those for iPad. That's what I've been waiting on.
Mm.
Is that the plan, you think?
As far as I know, they're planning
they
to do
that. They
tend
to do that, right? Like, did they release the Back to the Future games for the iPad?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I played the first couple of those and was like, meh. But this one I really want to... It's like, they did a super good job of getting you invested in the characters. I experienced some really sincere distress about disappointing someone in...
Like, just as, emotionally disappointing?
Yeah, like, as a result of... Well, there's, I mean, it's pretty... The stakes are pretty high in the Walking Dead universe, right? Like, there's a lot
like
of...
you got blood on my dress by killing this zombie?
A lot of violence. Well, you kill a lot of dudes that aren't zombies, right? Like, there's a lot of... It's rough. It's good.
I don't know anything about the world. I mean, I know a little bit about the world, but I don't know anything about the specifics of the world. I have not read the comic or seen the TV show.
One of them looks like MC Frontalot.
Okay.
I guess the guy who made the comics was a fan of MC Frontalot and so drew him into one of the panels.
Nice.
As a zombie?
Did the same guy write them? Yeah. And they had asked him to be an extra in the TV show, but he couldn't make it because he was in the middle of doing something. So he's trying to figure out how to do that. But that seems like it'd be pretty fun.
Yeah.
I had been super tempted for the few days to buy The Secret World, but I was like, no, the last thing I need is another active MMO subscription because I've already got so many of them. But then last night I got drunk and went home and I was like, fuck it, I'm going to buy The Secret World. And then a half an hour later I was like, fuck, it's hard to buy The Secret World. And then finally I bought it. And
why was it hard?
I have no idea, man. Their website is all broke dick ass, and it's like, I went in there and I logged on to my account from the beta and was like, add game, I guess. Because it's like...
That's the name of the button.
Yeah, add game, I guess. And there was a broken image. Like, half the images on the website were just broken when I went to it.
Is it possible that your browser was just tired?
Could be. The other day when I went to that website during the beta, it was just like a PHP error about some deprecated format of some date function, so you couldn't get past the age verification.
Oh, was that
screen?
The leap second that was causing everything to crash? Did you hear about that?
I did.
It like caused all kinds of Unix system errors all over the place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I was like, all right, I went to add a game, but it wouldn't let me add a game without setting up an account, even though I was logged in to my account. And so I had to create another account that was very similar in name to my existing account. It was one of those things where partially this is because I was drunk, and partially this is because it was just a really badly designed web form. But do you ever have that thing where you go to fill out a web form and submit it, and you end up having to submit it 6 or 8 times because every time you correct something, something else has gotten unfilled out while you weren't paying
like
attention.
Your password and then the checkbox that like you've read the fucking terms and conditions, and then you're like, oh, fuck, and I just resubmitted that without the password again.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that happened a bunch of times. And then so I guess I made a new account. I think I now have 4 or 5 Funcom accounts because I was never able to successfully like recover a password from one. And so
I mean, are they all tied to different email addresses?
Probably.
You're fucked.
I know. But I mean, you know, it's like, this is what
when
happens.
You forget, when you need to like renew though, and you've forgotten your password, you're never going to, you have no idea.
This one finally let me use one of my just like boilerplate passwords. So I don't think I'm going to forget. I will forget the username on this one.
Right.
Because, so I always go Jick unless that's already taken, and then Jicklesby unless that's already taken. Normally those are already taken by me in some years yeah. earlier incarnation that I just can't recover the password
that's,
for.
That's like whenever I go to sign up on a thing, I sign up as Rifflesby, and if that's taken, I know that I already have an account on this thing.
Well, except for all of, you know, the loyal video games hot dog listeners
yeah,
that have started.
Who now are going to start.
There are
yeah,
definitely
please
things
don't do
where
that,
people
guys.
Sign up as Jick. That aren't me
right.
before I get there. But, like, so then to play in the beta, it was like, well, instead of recovering one of these accounts, I'll just make a new account, I guess. And so I made my new standby, Zap Jackson.
Nice.
But then I couldn't add the game to that, so I had to make another one, Zach Japson. And so
luckily,
then,
you'll be able to listen to this episode to realize
yeah,
what your account
all,
name
all
is.
All so yeah, I'm Zach Japson apparently in the secret world, and I created a character on an RP again because I was drunk, and I was like, sure, I'll RP. I like it.
I mean, that seems like a good game world to RP.
Yeah, because this is just the real world.
Yeah,
I'd be like, what? I'm a computer programmer. I don't know about any of your secret society mumbo jumbo. Is it racist somehow to say mumbo jumbo?
What?
It's racist against World of Warcraft trolls
and elephants. What clan or secret society or whatever did you choose?
Illuminati, just because it was the one that say there are these skill decks that like you can unlock different sort of chivos and outfits. You get a sweet hat if you max out two skills. And I was like looking and I'm like, you know, this seems like the pair of skills that I would like to max out. And that seems like it'll be fun.
But this hat is really sweet.
It seemed to be Illuminati only.
Okay.
So I just picked Illuminati. And it's like you don't earn any XP or anything in the tutorial. So I just like skipped it all because I had just done it the previous weekend.
Right.
And just went out and started shooting zombies with guns. And then decided to change what skills I wanted to use anyway. So yeah, it doesn't even matter. Doesn't even matter, but it was fun. I had a lot of fun. I got into an argument with a guy in the chat and then ended up ignoring someone in the chat for the first time ever. I don't normally like to ignore people. I don't like to use an ignore list.
Use it early and often is kind of my philosophy.
Yeah, but it creates these situations where you're in chat with that person and you're just starting to see other people talking to him and you're not able to follow the thread of any conversation because you're not seeing this one asshole calling you autistic.
I always in World of Warcraft have turned off general chat, and then my ignore list is of people who yell a lot.
I mean, I like having general chat because I like the idea of there being a place where you can just talk while you're playing this game because it's a multiplayer game.
I feel like that's what guild chat is for.
Yeah, but I don't have a guild. They don't even have guilds in the secret world. They
what?
Have cabal.
So do you think that there will come a point when just doing daily activities, we are logged into a chat room? Like, you know, it'll be like showing up in your glasses or whatever, and you can like say
yeah, probably,
something like,
and it's like, oh, good.
Computer.
One thing that I really missed about getting coffee every morning was being called a faggot for no reason while I got my coffee. And so that's
maybe it will be a general chat room of everyone in your area.
Everyone in the world.
But I would assume it would just be your friends, but hell, maybe not.
Yeah, this guy, somebody else expressed, I wish people wouldn't spoil the answers to puzzles in open chat, and then they got dogpiled on, and then I was like trying to stick up for them. I should have known better.
Did they get Doglord 420 piled?
Yeah, Doglord 420'd.
That's a 420 dogs in that pile. That's...
At least on an RP server, they
at
do
least
some kind
420
of,
dogs.
Yes, they do some kind of name enforcement. So if you are Doglord 420, you at least have to be like, Charlie Doglord 420 Chaplin or something. Yeah, that was his nickname, right? He never said it out loud.
He was a pretty quiet guy in general.
It was good. It was hard to buy. I still don't really understand what the fuck. I hope when I go to play it tonight.
It'll still be
there. I think I'm shooting for 100% totally drunk while playing this game. So when I do a slash played, that's the same as a slash drunk. This is how much time you've spent drunk in the last X number of
months.
Well,
okay, that's not going to work. because you, if you're already drunk and you're not playing, then you're fucked.
All right.
Right. So you need to, what you need to do is log into the game as soon as you start to feel buzzed and then only like play while that lasts.
Also, I did a quest that was very confusing. I relied on the kindness of a stranger. I asked in general chat. I was like, hey, is this quest bugged or do I just not understand it? Because there's a, there was a, and this happened during the beta. It was like, you get a quest. Follow the raven. It's like the prophecy. Follow the raven. Like, okay. So the quest tracker says, find a raven. And okay. You walk outside of the building where you've been given the quest and there's a raven sitting there. So you're like, sweet. And it says, follow the raven, and gives you like a 50-second or a 1-minute timer.
Okay.
And the raven just flies off straight into a building and disappears. And I was like, okay, that seems like a bug. So I can't follow this raven. Turns out that what you're supposed to do is just go in the direction that the raven is flying, and okay. then you will find some more ravens. Yeah, and then when you get to them, they will fly off in the next direction you're supposed to go. And it ended up being pretty cool. But I had to, like, even after somebody explained that, it was like, just go in the direction that the raven went. So I did it.
And you walked
like,
into the wall?
Just walked into the water. No, I mean, it, like, I went around the building because I was like, you know, maybe he's going as the crow flies. there's some places where you can climb up ladders and get on tops of buildings and have to jump onto stuff. And I don't know, man. It's a pretty good game. I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I've been drunk 100% of the time that I've played it past the beta. But even doing the stuff that I did the previous week in the beta, like, it was pretty satisfying. I mean, just going around and, you know, finding dudes in this town that had been turned into zombies and picking up supplies from the fire department and stuff. Like, somehow, having it happen in the real world turns some of the just, like, go here, get this, kill X of these, into a different...
What city is it in?
...kind of thing. It's in Kingsmouth. It's in the fictional Lovecraftian East Coast town.
Okay.
That has had a boat... return with a curse that turned everybody into zombies.
Okay.
And a bunch of like sort of Lovecraftian husks coming out of the ocean.
So is that the entire game takes place there, or is no, that just the
this
first,
is just this is one of the first I hub? Think four main hubs. There's a bunch cool. of it that's in Egypt. There's a bunch of it that's in Shanghai. Another area. There's a thing called the Savage Coast, which I think is probably just the same as. You know what's weird? They did Age of Conan. And I did not know until fairly recently that H.P. Lovecraft and Robert Howard were like sort of in cahoots and agreed that the Conan stories and all of H.P. Lovecraft stuff took place in the same continuity, like
just separated by thousands of years.
Yeah, like yeah. The Hyperborean era was thousands of years prior to
yeah.
Lovecraft's 1920s. To be
pedantic about it, they're in the same continuity, but the Conan stories aren't considered part of the Cthulhu mythos because the tone is different and Conan wins against the things he goes up against.
Okay. But I mean they're not but, I mean that is
But they're set in the same universe.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could argue that he didn't actually win. That's just how the stories got passed down. Because back then they didn't write things down very accurately.
Sure.
All of the scribes were drunk. Every time they were like, hey, Scrivener, why don't you write down an accurate account of what just happened? The Scrivener would say, I would prefer not to.
I mean, didn't they only just have writing for numbers? So they just had to like try to figure out, okay, he killed two girls. We'll just put two hash marks here. And then later they're like, what was he killing? I don't know.
Dragons.
Dragons, yeah. It's
guys that turns into snakes. Guys that turns into snakes.
Are you go turning into snakes?
You go turning into a snake. What's up, Thulsa Doom? Was Thulsa Doom in any of the actual stories?
Not that I'm aware of. Okay. Not that I recall.
Man, you got to watch
It's been a while since I read them.
You got to watch the director's commentary of Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, like 20 years later or whatever?
Yeah, it is the director and Arnold Schwarzenegger, and man, is it astonishing that those guys could even manage to successfully purchase and drink a cup of coffee, much less make an entire movie and get it distributed in theaters. Oh man,
did you see the preview trailer for the Total Recall remake?
I did.
It looks pretty good.
I would say that.
It does look pretty good.
It looks like it might even be better than the original.
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Yeah.
Who's the main character?
The main actor?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
The main character is Quaid.
Yeah.
The main actor is Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
Playing himself. we're going to implant the memory of you committing suicide by flying a fighter plane into a UFO, and also blowing up your RV. This is in what National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. What else has Randy Quaid done?
I don't
was
remember.
He was not the Quaid that played Jerry Lee Lewis in Great Balls of Fire, right? That was Dennis Quaid.
I think so. Whatever happened to Dabney Coleman?
He died.
Did he?
Yeah, it's sort of the same thing that happens to all of us, right?
Man.
I think I looked him up after playing War Games Whopper. He was pretty good because he was both the guy in War Games and he was Jack Flack and
That's
the
right.
kid's dad from Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger.
Cloak and Dagger was a good. Did you watch and did you like Cloak and Dagger when you were a kid?
Yeah, I did.
Kevin? That was such a good movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my memory of it is
very
fond.
It probably wasn't
that's,
actually that
that's
good.
That's true.
It had video games. It had tabletop role-playing games. It had Dabney Coleman.
Yeah. It's Colin Farrell, by the way.
Walkie-talkies.
Plays Doug Quaid
I think I was
Hauser.
Thinking it was that stoner guy, James Franco?
Sure.
Yeah. Who do you think would win in a fight between Colin Farrell and James Franco?
Man, I only have the slightest idea of who those guys even are.
Okay, so just who do you think would win in a fight between two dudes?
The one on the left.
Okay.
I would guess that's usually right.
It depends on where you're standing, right? Like, if you were from the perspective of the referee in Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, usually the one on the left wins.
Yeah.
I don't remember where the referee is standing. I guess it's usually the one on the right.
I don't know anybody named Quaid, and yet there's several actors with Quaid as a last name.
Have you ever met somebody named
Quaid
Baldwin?
Sure.
Have you ever met somebody named Goldbloom or Goldthwaite or Thwaitebloom?
I think I've met a Goldthwaite.
Really?
No, I don't know.
Damn it.
I know a Gengold.
A Gengold?
Yeah.
All right. I guess that's what we've been playing. Kevin, what's in the news?
Well, Sony announced that they actually bought Gaikai, which
is that like on live like thing that
yes.
where you go to a web page and then VLC and then, into your mom's video games.
Yes,
you hack into your mom's PS3.
I don't think I tried the Gaikai service. I think I tried on live, but I was kind of shocked with how well it worked. Because at that point, I was playing like Mass Effect on my Mac, which was just not a thing that one could do.
You can normally only play Mac Effect.
Exactly. And so there's rumors that Microsoft is going to buy OnLive.
It seems unlike, because there were previously rumors that Apple, there were stories that Apple had tried to buy them and they just refused being bought.
I don't believe that because Apple has so staunchly resisted having anything to do with gaming whatsoever, except for except for their platform having games on it. Them actually like buying something that produced games, I think would be really sort of different.
Do you think that Steve Jobs had a butler named Stob Jeeves?
I don't think so. But you could check his biography
on Wikipedia.
I can edit it in.
Yeah, there you go.
Also, Edgar Allan Poe was a homosexual.
So they are.
His favorite food was creamy cock Doritos.
They're talking about incorporating like OnLive or Gaikai functionality into the next generation consoles. So like OnLive might be like a core feature of like the Xbox 720 or the PS4.
You know what I wish was a core feature of the Xbox 720?
What?
The arcade game 720.
Yeah.
Like if it had a big old floppy joystick.
Yeah.
And you have to just be like slam, 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 slam to do a lot of sweet kick, flip, spin tricks. That's what they do.
Huh.
I saw a YouTube video of this guy skateboarding with a baby. He had a baby in his arms and he tried to go down a ramp and just ate it. Crushed the baby.
Wow.
That's a pretty good video.
Skate or die. Or both.
Skate and die.
Skate and die.
I keep wanting to be that guy for Halloween. I want to get like just a douchey Dayglo 80s like shorts and t-shirt combo and a skateboard and then figure out a way to make a swarm of bees shaped like a skull and crossbones float behind me. And I think have like a white baseball cap.
Oh my God. Did you see that article about the wasp that is smaller than an amoeba?
Ugh. And well, does it matter? at that point?
I don't know. It
seems like a lot of them would have to sting you.
It is only the third smallest wasp. There are two wasp species that they're aware of that are smaller than that.
The Higgs-Bose wasp.
Yeah. There's one that's like blind. But yeah, this wasp is like a fully functional wasp. It can sting things and can fly around.
Okay. That's pretty much all they need to do.
Doesn't afraid of anything.
They live for like 5 days. They're like, it's crazy. They apparently only have like 7,000 neurons, which is really, really low even for an insect. And a lot of those neurons don't have nuclei, which is one of the ways that they save space. I don't know. It just sounds creepy that there are things that small that are multicellular. I don't know. Things that are slightly larger than them.
Threatening amoebas.
I don't know. I don't actually know that they can sting things. I'm just making that up. Amoebas. You're
really just making up this whole thing.
I'm not, though. Like, terrifying.
You say it's a wasp smaller than an amoeba, but we don't really have... We cannot really internalize the size of an amoeba.
Well, I know that
it's a thing. I have seen one in a microscope, I guess. Right.
And there is a wasp that looks like a wasp that is the size of an amoeba.
Okay.
Yeah, like, that's fucked up. I'm sorry. That is just fucked up.
Seems like eventually you'd get too small to fly.
Well, it's actually much easier to fly. Like, it just has these, like, it doesn't even have wings that, like, flap like normal wings, because they can just sort of, like...
It just goes...
At that scale, like, the air is just, like, a viscous fluid that they can sort of just, like, occasionally flap through.
They're swatting individual molecules
of air. Yeah. So weird.
Yeah, right? Radical Studios, the people that did...
The makers of 720.
Prototypes, the prototype series or whatever, has closed down because they did not make enough money. And they talked about a bunch of other alternatives to shutting down, but it just made the most sense, apparently. Which, you know, I had seen Prototype, and it looked kind of like a cool game, but I never played it, so I don't know.
I bought it, yeah. I think, on a Steam sale.
I mean, for me, it got overshadowed by...
Infamous,
yeah.
Sure, and I think maybe that was part of the problem.
Yeah, it's like Tentacles or Lightning. I think Lightning always wins.
Mm. Huh.
Oh, I saw a picture on Reddit of a girl who had a bunch of scars on her from Tentacles?
Hentai.
Yeah.
And Tentacles.
From a spaghetti
breakfast. Was she a fisherman's wife?
Guild Wars 2, the release date has been announced.
8/28.
8/28, exactly. I don't know. Are you excited about that? You played some of the beta.
It was fun.
Weekends.
I will probably buy it. I don't know.
Because you need another MMO?
Yeah. Well, but there's no monthly fee on it, so it's not...
It's one of those, like, buy once, never pay a fee things?
Do buy once, pay zero times.
Do they have microtransactions? Like,
maybe. Yeah, probably.
They must, because otherwise how do they keep the servers running?
Well, I don't know. Guild Wars.
Diablo.
Diablo.
1 and 2 still have servers running 10 years later, 15 years later.
Yeah, I don't know how Guild Wars did it. I mean, because they both maintained Guild Wars. I mean, ArenaNet had some other stuff going on, I guess. You know, they had one of those other extremely successful MMOs, like Nothing.
Like the Nothing from the...
From Lord
Story.
Of the Flies. Yeah. Okay, look, you're holding the Nothing, so you have to blow us.
Are you sure it was a conch?
We're holding the conch.
I don't know why this was in the news, but apparently Final Fantasy VII is now available as a PC download, so maybe they've just like brought it back as something that you can easily buy and, you know, put on your computer.
I remember buying it on like 4 CD-ROMs and then playing it for a few hours and thinking, nah, this is a fucking Final Fantasy game.
Like, I don't like Final Fantasy combat, but Final Fantasy VII has just always been talked about as like this like hallmark of our role playing. Yeah,
but yeah, I just have.
There's a part where you
tried to play it way too late to where the graphics are too clunky for me to.
There's a motorcycle race.
Yeah, there's some. Like, there's a bunch of trains crashing into stuff.
Yep.
A bunch of airships.
You jump from one train to another.
Do you?
One guy has a gun instead of an arm.
Okay.
Aeris does. Yeah.
There's a big red dog.
Is there?
Yep.
Like a Clifford?
Kind of, except more like a wolf Clifford, yeah.
Oh, sure. Is that red 13? Yeah, red 13. I thought that was like a lion.
Lion dog, sure.
Okay. There's a dog that's telling you that he's a lion, but it's not true.
Yeah.
And as Zach has been alluding to, the Higgs boson has been probably discovered.
Boson Higgs.
Yep. So 1.21 gigajoules.
Gigawatts.
A cock swing.
Gigawatts.
It's like what, 125 kilo electron volts or something? Or kilojillion
125 kegels.
What is, I don't,
kajillion volts.
You need to do at least 125 kegels a day to keep the wasps.
Can you summarize for me and other people like me that don't know anything about physics what this actually means?
It's tricky, right? Because it's, there is a model of how quantum particles work, right? Like we have the model with neutrons and protons and electrons, right? Mm-hmm. If you try to break those down even further, it's extremely difficult to observe those. Like those, that's what particle accelerators do, is they like smash stuff into each other to then see like the bits that fly off, right? And so there was a model that was more or less completed like 40 years ago that predicted 16 different basically like fundamental building blocks, okay, or pseudo fundamental building blocks, because you know theoretically they want there to be even more to like try to explain like dark energy and dark matter in the universe.
But then like none of the ones that they had ever actually observed had any mass.
Well, it was unclear where mass comes from, because it wasn't like, the theory predicts that there should be this thing called the Higgs boson, that actually sort of perpetrates mass. Like they're like, it's like both a particle and a field kind of at the same time, mm-hmm, like one of those weird situations. And so it is the thing that that like basically causes protons to actually like have resistance and like sort of a mass to them, whereas electrons basically move around freely.
Okay.
That kind of thing. But they just never had experiments at high enough energies to actually test this. And so theoretically this discovery, which they're almost certain about at this point, confirms
like
that
4 sigma or something,
five sigma.
It's like 5 sigma.
Yeah.
It's like 99.999%
likely that it is actually a real thing.
So is sigma just the number of significant
standard deviations? Of, I think.
And right. Not the number of significant digits in the certainty.
I don't think so. Cause it was, when it was 3 sigma, it was like 0.13% chance of it not being real. So yeah, fuck if I know. I honestly don't have a super firm grasp on it. And it, like, the sort of the most salient thing you can say about it is this is a thing which lends a lot more credence to the current sort of standard model of quantum physics.
Huh.
Where Worf will randomly jump around from universe to universe, and sometimes yes, he's married to Starbuck.
Yeah, that's the standard model.
Sweet news, bros. So this assignment, The Binding of Isaac.
Kind of.
Best game or greatest game? Kevin?
Bullshit. Horse donkeys.
Describe your experience with The Binding of Isaac, because I feel like most of our listeners are interested in various ways in which you can be wrong.
Well, so I mean, I think that my opinion is going to be pretty minority, especially among our listeners. But to give you a timeline, I played Binding of Isaac maybe a month or so after everybody else got into it. Played it on my old computer, which was slow enough that like it actually like had pretty significant impact on the gameplay. And it was very easy for me to just beat it like the first couple of times.
He beat it on the first try, and then
beat Mom
in doing
that
unlocked the whole thing, and then beat it again on the second try.
Yeah, like I played maybe 5 games of it, unlocked the sort of 5 basic characters or whatever, and beat Mom, and I was like, okay, you know, this game is kind of interesting, but whatever, and just didn't really get into it. And then put it away until yesterday. And started playing it again, played maybe an hour of it with already a bunch of new stuff, because like I guess there had been like a Halloween update or something.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I guess I should, you know, download that DLC so I know what all that's about, and then played that for like 3 more hours. And like it was just maddening, basically, the whole time. Because I just never, after 4 hours of play, I did not feel like I had actually gained any kind of progress at all in the game. Like I would still randomly die on the first one through five levels. It seemed like, I mean, not randomly, like, you know, I'm not very good at the game yet, right? But I did not feel like I was getting better at it. Like that was the thing that was super frustrating.
Wrath of the Lamb was, I think, targeted at people who had already played the shit out of The Binding of Isaac and gotten really good at it prior to the expansion. So
it definitely seems like the new monsters that have been added are
really, really hard. Like those spiders are super tricky.
Yeah.
And I don't know. What's weird, though, is that I don't know that they are actually that much harder than the other enemies.
They're harder than flies, which I feel like is their analog, right? Like, you know, on levels where they were just the basic bugs, it would just be flies, and some of them would shoot at you, and some of them would be more aggressive or whatever, but, like, almost all the spiders it feels like they take more hits to kill, and they're, like, way more aggressive, and, like, they'll, like, corner you in a way that a fly won't.
They move predictably, though. Everything in the game moves predictably.
Okay, you say that, but the big spiders jump either, like, a sort of understandable defined jump, or they jump all the way fucking across the screen and just land on you, like, without any kind of obvious warning.
I think they very frequently jump to wherever you are, and so you just need to watch them and move.
Okay,
but they do kill me a lot. I mean, so I feel like those spiders are the big spiders are the upgraded versions of the headless guys that jump around. Which when I first started playing The Binding of Isaac, the headless guys that jumped around that were fine until they started teleporting. At which point, if there were those guys in a room, that was just the room where my game was over.
I mean, what about the ones that are on fire? Those are a pain in the ass, too.
Well, they can all be on fire. Like, if they jump into a fire, they will turn into one of those.
Yeah, I mean, so the you fire can either, that like, shoots at you now?
Go
like,
out of your way to put the fire out.
Like, it's there were weird. Just so
it only
many...
shoots at you sometimes.
Oh, is that what those different colored ones are?
Yeah.
I've never actually seen one shoot.
Oh, it's God. Very spotty.
It's very aggravating. It's like, like, it's just so many things about this game. Like,
so this game is hard in the same way that Super Meat Boy is hard.
Okay, like, but it isn't. It isn't hard in the same way Super Meat Boy is hard, right? Like, I mean, this is I really want to compare and contrast it against Super Meat Boy and against Spelunky, right? Okay, so Super Meat Boy, extremely difficult. Very, very little time between, like, repetitions of something, but it is like these really small discrete chunks. And you, when you beat it, you go on to the next one. You are not, I don't have to go through, to get to level 10, I don't have to play through levels 1 through 9 every fucking time, right? And that is a huge, like, you are getting better at the game, and you are feeling like you're making consistent progress, right?
But levels 1 through 9 are always the same in Super Meat Boy, and in The Binding of Isaac, they're a different game every time.
Okay, so there's, like, you know, there are 1,000 different games, and I have not yet found one that I liked, right? Like, they're all, like, mystifying. Like, all of these fucking power-ups just are inscrutable. Like, they don't tell you what they do.
But it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I feel like most of the time you don't really need to know.
Okay, well, so, like...
Unless it's, I mean,
there was a fork and a cap, and, like, a nurse's cap or whatever, and, like, I could carry one of the two of them, and I had no idea what the fuck either of them
that's
did.
That's when you look on the wiki. I mean, it's...
Okay, so, like...
And I don't necessarily like playing a game with the wiki open, but I would rather a game have the level of depth that requires you to play it with a wiki open than not have that level of depth, I think. There are a very limited number of items in The Binding of Isaac that I will not pick up.
Mm-hmm.
Like the $3 bill, for instance. I don't like playing with that
syrup
level
of Ipecac.
Yeah. Ipecac I will always pick up.
So I feel like a lot of things have also changed since the last time I played it. Because I remember when I got chocolate milk on the first playthrough, like, it was like a win the game kind of power up for me. And it's kind of annoying now. I don't feel like the shots are nearly as powerful when charged, and... Like, just not being able to hold down the shoot button is, like, a really just annoying sort of gameplay disadvantage, I feel like. Whereas I felt like, way back when I first played, like, Chocolate Milk was great. Because, like, if you charge something up, it was almost always a one-hit kill. And now I can hit something, like, 2 or 3 times with a charged Chocolate Milk bullet, and it doesn't necessarily die.
I mean, it might also depend on what your damage stat is at.
Right? Yeah, it's just, like...
I don't know. It's weird, man. Because, like, Spelunky in the beginning, when I first started playing Spelunky, it would make me mad in the way that I think that The Binding of Isaac is making you mad. But I never felt like that with Binding of Isaac. I don't remember ever being really frustrated with it because I was just
like, if I died in Spelunky, it was my fault. And
see, I absolutely feel like that.
I always feel like in Binding of Isaac that the game is just fucking me.
I am almost certain. Listening to him talking in Indie Game the Movie, led me to believe, and I don't know why, I sort of had this sense, because the way that I would have balanced this game is I would have made sure that it was possible to beat every room mm-hmm. without getting hit with the starting character. And I almost guarantee that he did it.
Okay.
I almost guarantee that he demonstrated that it was possible to beat every room without getting hit with a character with no power-ups.
Once you know absolutely everything about the game, right? Well, but the game is constantly throwing new shit at you. Like,
constantly throwing new shit at you. Like, eventually you learn it all.
Okay, but like, if it takes 40 hours to like learn the lexicon of the game,
then that is a game with tremendous play value. Or if it stays fun.
It's, like, that's the thing. It did not feel fun for the first 4 hours. I'm like, why would I want to spend 36 more hours to like develop some kind of mastery of this?
I mean, I think that touches on something more core to this, which is that you don't like the basic gameplay.
But that's weird though, because this is exactly the kind of, like, I like arcade style, you know, Zelda clones, right? Like that is like one of my favorite, like totally favorite video game styles, right? So like, this should be a game that I could really get into. It's what was driving me crazy was like getting down to the fourth or fifth level, having a character that I considered pretty powerful, and then like encountering a boss or a new type of enemy that would just destroy me because I didn't know what the fuck to expect. And then being like super pissed because it would just, I would lose all that progress. Like I felt so penalized for continuing to explore the game every single time. It was just so crushing.
I mean, do you feel penalized when you get to like the sixth board of Pac-Man and lose your last guy?
No, but I haven't been powering Pac-Man. I didn't like, he's not like he got like, I got three, you know, hand grenades and four like machine guns and stuff like that.
What version of Pac-Man have you been playing?
I haven't, because that's not a game, right? Like that, like a game where you like get a character and you get all these like power-ups and special abilities, and like you're like, okay, now I'm sort of learning how to play this. I feel like I'm sort of getting used to this, and then you find something that like just doesn't work the way that you're expecting it to, or like you pick up another power-up and it hurts you, or like you open a chest which are like up to that point in the game has been nothing but positive things, mm-hmm. and it's a fucking bomb chases you around and then explodes and killed, like died to one of those, like died, and I'm like, what the fuck? Like, and then there are like rooms where you get to a room, and let's say it's on the second or third level, and there's like a room with spikes in the middle of it, and you're like, okay, is it worth trying to touch those? Because why would there be a room that like doesn't have anything in it? And like you touch them, and like, I mean, of course it hits. It takes health away.
It's like a gambling room where.
Okay, does something ever happen when you touch them? Okay.
Every time you lose hit points on those spikes, there is a chance of it spawning an item. Like that's what those rooms do.
The update has a ton more ways of spending or taking your life, and doesn't seem to have balanced it with more ways to acquire life.
I felt like way back in the non-DLC version, I would regularly have extra hearts on the board and be wandering around and like trying to figure out how I wanted to spend those as a currency before I jumped down to the next level. And I just, after downloading the DLC, I never had any extra hearts. Yeah.
See, I mean, it's still, that still happens to me. I mean, so the reason that I like, I don't know, you describing a game where, to me, powering up is fun.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Powering up is a fun mechanic. But if you only get to do it once, it's way less fun.
What do you mean if you only get to do it once?
So if you just if the Binding of Isaac was an MMO, and when you got a power up, you just kept it for the rest of the time that you were playing the game, mm-hmm. that would get super boring really, really fast.
I mean, right? I'm not so saying the fact that you get to like have 100 different slots and you get to keep every item that you get.
No, but I think that, but in this you do, right? That all of the, like for the most part, the items that you get in the Binding of Isaac that power you up are cumulative. And so you're doing...
You said for the most part? I feel like almost all of them are mutually exclusive.
The pills are cumulative. Everything except the activatable items and the trinkets are cumulative, or they're consumable.
I mean, the
I would say the tarot of the list cards. Of 200, I would say of the list of 200 power-ups, probably 120 of them are just things that do something to your character and are not, they stack. I mean, that's the whole like gimmick, is that all the power-ups stack and change your appearance and you end up being this weird monster.
I mean, I felt like a lot of them were things that I had to decide between, and I didn't even know what the fuck they did.
I mean, I feel like the variability in the way that the game presents itself is so vast that 4 hours is not enough to get a sampling.
But that, like, that is insane, right? Like,
it's insanely awesome.
That is a tremendous amount of commitment to something that you're not convinced is even going to be worth the payoff. Right.
I mean, in the end, you just die. So nothing is worth the payoff. Right. I mean, so what does that even mean? Like, it's a video game. It's fun. And if it's not fun, you stop playing it. Like, it's like you want this game to trick you into playing it, even though you don't enjoy it.
I want the game to, like, show me that I'm making some sort of progress or something.
But you are. You're just too frustrated to know that you are. You, every time you get killed by a boss, you know now what that boss does. And so the next time you encounter it, you can try a different approach. I mean, like, and I specifically remember, like, Gertie used to always kill me. If I got to Gertie, I was just like, well, fuck, I'm going to lose. But now, Gertie, I always dispatch without getting hit because I learned the patterns. And it's not like I was fucking taking notes. It's not like it was hard. I enjoyed it. Because
it takes like 30 minutes.
It would
to get
be nice though if there is some it way takes, to not have to play the entire thing to get back.
It takes
to that
30
point.
Minutes to get to him, but it's 30 minutes of playing a fun video game. It's not a fucking punishment. It's fun. It's a video game.
It feels like a punishment when you lose, like when you get killed.
I never felt like that. It just felt like
See, that's the thing for me is like there's no character progression. You are just building something up and having it immediately taken away from you.
I sort of think that from a like metagame standpoint, that is one of the most amazing things about this game is that the character progression is in the game getting harder to match you getting better at it. Because the more times you beat it, the more harder difficulty levels get unlocked below where it goes. The harder you beat the end boss 10 times and it turns into an even harder end boss. You defeat a certain boss and it unlocks a new, harder version of that boss that can appear in its place. Like,
I kind of wish that I could turn off the DLC, right? Like, and I don't think I can.
That is fair enough.
Yeah, yeah. Right? I definitely feel like my ability to get anywhere in the game is pretty heavily based on getting a really sweet build really quick because I'm not very good at the running around and dodging.
See, but I mean, so, I feel like the getting a bad build is what makes you better at the running around and dodging because you have to, because you don't want the kid to die.
If I'm getting screwed on power-ups, then I don't get better at dodging because I die right away. It's when I have enough power-ups to be able to survive and take a few hits that I have enough time to get a little bit of practice.
But I mean, that's the thing. Like, it's not a game that you can brute force your way through by just taking a bunch of hits, right? Like, it's when you get a life power-up, you are getting something that is giving you the ability to survive even though you fucked up at the expense of giving you something that makes it so you're more likely to actually be able to beat the thing that is actually too hard for you. Hmm. Right? Like, it gets to the point where you would rather... I mean, so our buddy Sean, who is better at this game than I am by a long shot, always, always takes devil deals. And I almost never do because losing that maximum hit points is just rough. It's like, oh man, I don't think that I should do that. But he's like, yeah, always take one. Because if you get good enough at it that you just don't get hit. And that's how you get good at the game is by being good at the actual moment-to-moment gameplay. It's not about taking advantage of the fact that your character is more powerful. Because it helps. Because the enemies are getting more powerful. So it's like it is like trying to stay on the edge of that curve, but it is not a game in which... Wow, it's really hot in here all of a sudden.
It is.
It's not a game in which avatar power makes up for player power. Right? It is a game in which player skill is the absolute most important thing. And to me, that is just awesome because it is a game like that. And usually that kind of game doesn't appeal to me, but this one was just like... I don't know, man. There have been so many times at parties where I have just sat around with the two or three or four of us that have gotten really into The Binding of Isaac, and we just talk about it for hours. It has become like a religion. It got a hold of us.
That's so fucked up.
So hard. something has got to be wrong. I think the air conditioner has stopped working or
it's
something.
It's possible that it got frozen because of the rain.
Oh, yeah.
It rained here on the 4th of July in
Arizona. Maybe somebody turned it off because it was too cold earlier, and they don't understand that we're trapped in this box. We're trapped in a room that is made out of blankets.
Oh, but what I was going to say in reference to the DLC is that I feel like the addition of all those extra power-ups has kind of watered down the field, so it makes it a lot harder to get the cool combinations that I sort of rely on.
A lot of the power-ups, though, in the DLC are combinations of things, right? There are a lot of new power-ups that are like flight plus tears up, or like the Jesus juice is just crazy. It's like so good. It's like three different stat ups.
Oh, there it goes.
It's like, you know, it's like as good as the best of the mushrooms, right? It's not quite like every stat up, the magic mushroom, the big red one or whatever, but like.
I guess I wouldn't know because I seem to just get the coin purse full of pills every time.
Just four tears down pills.
So what the fuck game?
I think I got more and more and more frustrated after installing the DLC because like I felt like I was.
It does make it a lot harder.
I was having the surplus of like coins and hearts that I felt like I was regularly getting in.
It would
in
be
the
nice
in
if
the non DLC version. And
if
it's
the
just
DLC
never...
was not in the game itself, if the DLC had added a bunch of new unlock tiers, the way stuff previously unlocked in the game.
Yeah, I can imagine.
It replaces rooms with stuff that like you have to like actually like hurt yourself to go and see what's in there.
Well, but the only thing that's ever in there is those red chests, right?
So which may just have spiders.
Yeah, which might just be full of spiders, right? Like I don't tend to go in those because they're not worth it to me. Like those are, it's just another way of gambling health. And
which I don't go in them unless I have a heart somewhere on the level that I can go back and collect, but
yeah, like, I probably would too, but it's just, I don't know. Like I like that as my playing of this game has evolved, there have been things that I was like totally afraid of that I now get excited when I see them because I'm like, ooh, blood machine. Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I I went from thinking those were cool to kind of hating them, right? Because, like...
I see what you're saying on the DLC. Like, I think that they probably had this conversation where it was like, well, do we only sell this to people who are already, like, just hardcore and burned out on The Binding of Isaac? Like, do we do this as a WoW-style expansion? Or do we do it as a thing that anyone who buys the game could buy to begin with? And it's like, I don't know. I mean, I'm a little surprised, actually, like, because I, you know, had already unlocked most of the game when I bought the expansion, right? But you, having unlocked almost nothing, bought it, and it's right off the bat is replacing.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it'll replace levels with super hard versions of the same level.
Yep.
Right? And
spider webs everywhere that slow you down.
Oh,
which
I
like,
hate the spider webs.
Damn.
I feel like maybe it shouldn't do that to people who are really inexperienced.
And they know they know how much progress I've made, which is frustrating, right? Like they could be smarter about that, I feel like.
There's a lot of stuff going on in the background, though. Like I found out, apparently confirmed this in some interview, that like the more money you have, the more likely it is to replace a shop with that greed monster that just attacks you.
Is that bugged? Because I keep going, for a bunch of times now, have gone into a shop and it's been the greed level, but he's not in there.
That I saw that happen to Kevin once today. I've not had it happen to me. But that seems like it's probably a bug. I went into a secret room in one of the XL levels, and it was just a normal room. It had the secret room tile, but it had holes and rocks and enemies in it.
Weird.
But the
did you have to bomb to get into it?
Yeah. And bomb to get out of it.
Weird.
Too, which like in a different.
Oh, because it like closes the
it does. It didn't close it off, but it was there was a part of the level that you could only get to by going through the secret room. So it took like four bombs to. Yeah, it was. I think that maybe the 2XL level generation was not super well tested because I think it also resulted in some situations where you could get an unwinnable game. You'd beat a boss and then it wouldn't spawn the next boss room or an exit.
Oh, wow.
So you had to be able to, like, teleport to get out of the level. So, yeah, I don't know. It makes me sad that you responded so negatively to
you know,
this.
Because I have seen so many people get really invested in the game, I know that there's some good game there. It's just frustrating that it feels like it is so far away from where I am, right? Like, I had expected that after a couple hours, I would start to feel the excitement and the joy that you guys have talked about, and it just never happened.
You were mad, man.
I was really, really mad.
Even though I was super drunk and super invested in shooting zombies with my pistols in the secret world, I was hearing, like, wow PvP levels of Kevin rage as you punch the walls.
I didn't punch the walls.
I heard something. Well, you probably elbowed them?
I probably hit them with my head. Okay. Yeah.
You're going to have to pay for that wall when you move out.
Sure.
Oh, guys, The Binding of Isaac. I was hoping to sit around and talk to you guys about how awesome it is.
I mean, it's more interesting that we didn't all love it to pieces, right?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of sit right in between the two of you. I think it's a cool game, but every now and then I'll get the itch to play some of it, and I'll play and get gradually too frustrated to continue playing.
Man, I just never experience any frustration at all. That's
so weird.
When my game ends, it's like, oh. Like, that's literally the noise that I make every single time. Oh. And if I win, it's like, nice. So, the next assignment. We decided that since we are about to vanish into a Comic-Con cesspool... we're not going to have a whole lot of time, so we wanted to pick something that we could play on our phones, because even when you are busy and hauling merchandise to Comic-Con and manning a booth, you still got to poop. So, Poopin' yep. Game, Kingdom Rush, starring Jeffrey Rush.
Yep.
Kingdom Rush for iOS. A lot of people in the forums had said, hey, you guys should play Kingdom Rush, and I had played it a little bit on the Congregates or whatever, and...
If you don't have an iOS device, you could try playing the Flash version. I don't know how similar they'll be. It seems like the iOS version is pretty polished. So
yeah. Yeah, I played a couple levels of it while I was pooping earlier. I wasn't really pooping.
You were just sitting in the bathroom so you could have a little Kingdom Rush privacy.
I was perspiring.
Right.
All right. Well, sweet assignment, bros. I was hoping that you could join our Binding of Isaac coffee clutch.
How do you guys play it controls-wise?
Play what?
Binding of Isaac.
Keyboard?
Both keyboard and mouse, or just keyboard and keyboard?
You can use the mouse?
Yeah. You can aim with the mouse.
Yeah, you can aim with the mouse.
Really?
Aim and shoot, yeah.
I've been playing it with a
can
USB
you shoot it
controller.
An angle?
I'm not
sure.
It's still the four directions.
Oh, wow, Jesus. That never even occurred to me. That seems like it'd be fucking horrible.
I would not want to do it.
Yeah.
Keyboard, I plugged in a USB controller. I'm trying it that way. I don't know if I like it better or not.
And I've gotten so used to it in the 50 hours of it that I've played. It's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, that's a major demarcator, right? Like, I've played 4 hours total. That's including the time that I spent. I had spent 38 minutes playing it before yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
And I guess if it starts out in, like, baby mode because of your shitty frame rate computer.
Yeah.
It was like raiding in WoW. Probably was super easy for you to heal those raids because your frame rate was so low.
If only.
All right. Hey, how about a little of that old, how about a little of that...
Listener mail? Listener mail? You're working on your drunk
attitude. How about a couple lids of reefer? Did you ever watch that Cheech and Chong movie? Or any Cheech and Chong movie where they're talking about, buy me a lid?
I've not actually watched...
What the fuck
was
a lid?
I've not watched any
It was like
Cheech
an
and Chong
like a jar lid, is what I always imagined when I was a kid. Mm. Enough weed to fill up the lid of a jar. But how big of a jar? You get like a mayonnaise jar? You get like a big...
Pickle jar?
Mixed nuts jar? You get like a... A jar, jar, jar. Larry writes, obvious, I suppose, but please discuss Clang. Thanks, guys. Did we talk about this?
A little bit. It was a news item.
It's the Neil Stephenson sword fighting.
Oh, right.
Like, he, you know, I have a friend who, or you know him as well, a friend of ours.
The guy that was working on the Mongoliad.
Yeah, like he's part of the Subutai Corporation or whatever, and it's a group of people that are into... like martial arts and fighting with weapons and but real recreation of like old styles of fighting, that kind of thing. And like, I think this is an extension of that. The Mongoliad came out of, I think, a group of those people, sort of like-minded people who wanted to make historical style fiction that, was very accurate in that kind of way. And so I think that them making this video game, so Clang is a Kickstarter that they want to make a motion controller video game that is like sword fighting. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what controller they settled on as like the probable platform for it or whatever, but it looks like it will be very accurate, but I'm not sure how much fun it will be.
Yeah, I'm dubious about how accurate it can be without any resistance of a parrying sword stopping your sword.
Because it's a motion controller, they can do some kinds of effects that are kind of like that. Mm. They talk about how if you're wanting to like hit things really hard and have your, you know, have your controller stop or whatever, you're not actually sword fighting for real. Huh. And that's one of the things that they're talking about, is it's not that same kind of visceral.
Yeah, the basically real sword fighting was not a lot at more all finessed. Like what you imagine. Nah, well, I mean, it was like less finesse and more just like there was a lot of like grabbing the blade and swatting your opponent in the face with it in both hands, and like a lot of like holding it with the blade pointing down and like hitting them with the hilt and stuff like that, like if you looked at actual like old tapestries and stuff of sword fights, that it looked super awkward and not at all like, not at all like a lightsaber duel.
They apparently,
so something that was interesting about lightsaber fights is that if the blade doesn't have any mass, it becomes a lot more of agility rather than a strength and agility contest.
Yeah.
They're apparently at $420,000 of their $500,000 goal. So, and they've got 4 days to go. So they need to ramp up support in the last few days. you're looking at their
Kick Track and see what their projection is.
I feel like
they're trending toward just barely above.
Yeah, but I don't like the trending. You look at the pie. Where did it go? Their pie score.
They've totally changed the way. Okay, so they've totally changed Kick Track since 2 weeks ago when we were looking at it all the time. Okay. The cone is barely touching above funding. Yeah.
I mean, if they get a little bit more press, I feel like. Yeah.
I have a feeling this is a thing that is not even a little bit interesting to me.
I did not back it. I'm curious about it, but I did not. Because I don't think I'm going to buy a motion controller system, and that's the major hindrance for me is like I think it requires a console, which I don't have, and then an expensive motion controller, which I don't have.
I kind of feel like motion control was a failed experiment.
I don't necessarily believe that, but I'm
until we get the Minority Report thing, which is great, and except for the part where in order to move data from one computer to another computer in the same room, somebody had to carry a physical object and plug it into both.
A bunch of like really strong force feedback stuff, like a suit that was like motion control where it could actually limit your movements.
That would be cool.
I think that
and was also cool. Dapper.
but nothing that would actually potentially break your bones. I wouldn't want that.
I think that I am more excited about movie and video game sword fighting than real sword fighting, because real sword fighting was selected for like lethality and effectiveness, and movie and video game sword fighting was selected for awesome.
Yeah.
Right.
And I remember reading a Timeline by Michael Crichton, and there was a guy who was like all about how like, yeah, man, sword fighting is not at all like the bullshit you see in the movies. And then it talked about how hard and boring sword fighting was that he was doing. And I was like, yep, I don't care. Like, you know, the idea of sword fighting where your goal is to hit your opponent's sword a bunch of times and then maybe kick them off the side of a boat or something in the end, as opposed to like, oh no, this is a thing where we're both trying to cut parts of each other off so that we'll die. Like, it's just not as fun, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with the showmanship.
And it turns out all the awesome fantasy armor is incredibly impractical because it has all those grooves and engravings that will catch a dude's sword and cause you to die.
Yep. Well, unless it's enchanted or lubed up with Vaseline. I'm sorry, fantasy Vaseline.
I mean, if your armor had a bunch of hands on it that could literally catch their sword, then maybe it would be better.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could think of a funny thing to say about armor with hands on it. It's a real hands-on.
Armor Hand.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We get paid to write jokes. Scarfin says, standard advice to a newcomer to Chicago. Avoid swimming in the lake. Never put ketchup on a hot dog. Learn the L. Know the territory. Also, if you're here during the winter and own a car, never move lawn furniture out of a shoveled parking spot on the street unless you want your tires slashed.
Yeah. I would not swim in the lake. I have not had...
I swam in Lake Michigan once when I was a kid, and I thought it was really great.
I think the shore is kind of gross.
That was before AIDS.
Was it... So, I mean, like, apparently at some point, they literally reversed the flow of the river that runs through Chicago, because it was picking up all the, like, industrial effluents and stuff and dumping them into the lake.
Okay.
Which is also where they get the water from, to, like, the drinking water for the city. So they built a canal that is lower than the river that now all the water flows out that, and then they have a dam or a little lock system at the shore of the lake where the river meets, so that now it flows out of the lake instead of into the lake.
Huh. I enjoyed swimming in the lake because it was like being at the ocean, except the water wasn't disgusting.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you could drink it, which, like, it's, you know, fresh water, giant body of water. It's like that. These are like the largest freshwater.
Yeah, freshwater and waves in the world. Was a combination that was less gross than fucking the ocean. Yeah. Is so gross.
Yeah,
so gross.
Ugh. And it's just the addition of just a little bit of salt.
No, it's the addition of a little bit of salt and the fact that of almost everything that has ever died,
there's plenty of stuff
most of it died in the ocean and is still in there.
But there's a lot of stuff that's died in Lake Michigan.
Fucking in there,
you know?
Yeah, like, fish fucking. Like every time a fish gets diarrhea. It's just hanging out there.
Except for the times that they're in Lake Michigan.
Okay.
Right? Like.
Well, then they just die of not having enough diarrhea. Because the salt content is missing.
I see.
The Kathrevin says, hot stuff. I mean, Kevin, have you been to Portillo's yet in Chicago? If not, well, what the fuck?
No, but it's. I put it on my list. I have started a list of places to go.
The people have recommended?
Yep.
Okay. What is Portillo's?
I don't know.
Okay.
I just put it on my list.
So it's, why haven't you been to Portillo's rape and murder dungeon?
Yep. I will find out when I get killed and then raped, or vice versa.
Scarfidden says, video games question. Creeper World, yay or nay? I bought 1 and 2 weeks ago to burn some time, and boy, have I gotten my money's worth. Man, we played the fuck out of some Creeper World back in the day.
I still have not played that.
And then we played the fuck out of some Creeper World 2 when that came out.
And it's a pretty different game. I mean,
It's still very good.
Same idea and same system approach, but a very different game. So they're worth playing both of them.
For whatever reason, though, every time I start Creeper World or Creeper World 2, I have to, like, dive for my volume control during that knuckle cracking. The sound doesn't bother me and the visuals don't bother me, but the combination of the visuals and the sound are just, like, it is such a just visceral... Ugh.
Knuckle cracker software.
It is the fact that the knuckle is pulling apart to make that sound. I crack my knuckles, but people who crack their knuckles by pulling on their fingers... makes me want to scream.
Weird.
Thinking about this ever actually just
bang.
Accidentally just pulled a finger off.
Probably. Man, that seems like it would happen all the time. Our shit is so falling apart, like from the moment we're born. It's just like, well, what's going to rot and fall off next?
Have you seen the knuckles that are the size of an amoeba? not really.
Sorry. All right, you know what? We should save the rest of these questions for next week because we are not going to have been playing a lot, I expect. Because we're
working.
Yeah, we got a weekend of travel and then working and then travel and then working and then Comic-Con. I'm hoping that we'll have the same sort of experience that we had last year at Comic-Con where we can go around and play a bunch of video games and then talk about new demos and get all the hottest scoops. I don't think that's actually going to happen. We don't even have a buddy at BioWare anymore, so I won't get to figure out how horrible I am at Mass Effect 3 on a console.
We have buddies at other companies.
Sure. Yeah, I guess.
But I don't know if any of them are demoing anything at Comic-Con.
We'll have to go over to the party where the hot girls are giving away energy drink.
Yeah.
That's what always happens. All right, Kevin, if somebody wanted to send us a question, how would they do it?
They could tweet us at VGHotDog. They could email us, VGHotDog@gmail.com. And they could check out our forums at videogameshotdog.com. It's not actually there, but you can find them from there.
There's a link that says forums.
Yep.
Yeah, hang out. Talk to the cool people in there.
Yep. In the forums this week, one of our listeners mentioned a puzzle contest that he started, which is probably, I didn't really play much in the way of video games, but I spent some time solving some puzzles.
Oh yeah, did we just skipped you, and what have you been playing?
I haven't really been playing much. I played some Fusio, and then I played, I tried to solve some.
Why didn't you let
me
do that?
Well, because you had ended the segment, and I wasn't going to go back and say, hey, wait, and that kind of thing.
But you could have said, oh man, you skipped me, you asshole. Yeah. I'm going to start talking, and you can edit it in.
I really have not been playing much, so it's fine. You had already talked about Fusio.
Yeah, well, those notes, and I feel like a jerk.
Yeah,
I feel like a big, stupid, fat jerk.
It's okay. Anyway, if you're into puzzles, the contest started like a week ago, and it is still going because the puzzles are
very hard. Super fucking
inscrutable.
Hard,
yeah. I couldn't even figure out the first one.
Scrutable.
Me neither.
Yeah.
All right, well, I've had fun recording an episode of Video Games Hot Dog with you guys.
Me too.
And I hope you've had fun recording it with our listeners.
In a manner of speaking,
thanks,
sure.
Listeners.
Thanks,
Video
listeners.
Video Games Hot Dog.
Thanks.
Have a great week, everybody.